This morning will be by, I call him my brother, pastor of Summit Bible Church. And he's here with his lovely wife, Pastor Ndidi. All right. He's a medical doctor by profession. He's a graduate of Rema Bible College in Tulsa. All right. I'm trying to see. He went to Tulsa too. Rema Bible College, Tulsa. And he's also the senior pastor of the Summit Bible Church, Abuja. Let's put our hands together and bring Pastor Andy Osakwe.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Let's appreciate Pastor Baju. Let's appreciate him for this great work and also for being a man of integrity, a good man. He was always a great man, but when his wife came, he became a greater man. Yes, so it's almost like we had to force him to get married, but eventually we overcame, and he married a very good wife. Praise the Lord. the first lady, the first lady of Covenant Nation. Clap your hands for the first lady of Covenant Nation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I also brought my brightness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because of the anointing around her. Once I mentioned her, the vibrations. Praise the Lord. I want to recognize Bishop Feb Idahosa. Thank you so much for being around. Thank you. Amen. Pastor Sunday Ginibo, thank you. And all the other ministers and pastors, you're all welcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sure it's been a great week so far. Too much. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We yield ourselves to your presence. We open our hearts to receive from you. Holy Spirit of God, have your way. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before you sit down, I want you to find, see, this year, you will celebrate. Amen. Some of you don't seem to believe what I'm saying. This year, you will celebrate more than previous years. Now, there will be some battles, even some great battles, but by the end of the day, you'll have great victories. There will be some storms, but after the storms, they're going to have great peace. Amen. Amen. The Lord said to me, this year is a year of fullness. Fullness. So you're going to come of age. You're going to rise to a place of fullness. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And just this morning, the Lord spoke to me about you, and the Lord said this. This is going to be a season of greater things. Amen. Greater things. Greater manifestations, greater works, greater influence, greater connections. May it happen to you according to your amen. Hallelujah. So since we're going to celebrate this year, I want to ask you a question. Just in case, let's say God did for you that which you have believed for. If God did it this year, if God did it before the end of the first quarter, listen, how would you behave? Some of you are not moving. Some of you are not even excited. How would you behave? Now, let me do this. Wait. Let me help you now. There's something about faith principles, right? The way you behave now. It's a practice run. It's a prophetic statement. The way you behave now is the way God will use to bring it to pass. So how you want to behave when it happens, do it now. Do it now. Come on, do it now. Thing about celebration it is associated usually with laughter. So I'm going to ask before you sit down that you greet three people, but greet them with laughter. That is how you will laugh. Hallelujah. This is your testimony laughter. Because there are many of you are going to smile to the bank. Watch this. Wait. But on your way out of the bank, you'll be laughing. Hallelujah. I hope you are believing me, oh. Because as I'm saying it, so shall it happen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. One more time. Ha, 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 ha. Woo, glory to God. You may be seated. Anytime you want to laugh while I'm preaching, feel free. I have no problem. Glory to God. There's such a liberty in the atmosphere. Just flow. Hallelujah. Yes. The power of God's mercy. The power of God's mercy. What a powerful theme. I want to talk about levels and dimensions of the supply of God's mercy. Levels and dimensions. Now let me explain the difference between level and a dimension. A level is, for instance, when you are raised up to a level, all right? That's a level. You were at a previous level and then you were raised up to another level. Now while you are at that level, there are different dimensions in that level. So you can be at a particular level, someone else is at the same level, but they're experiencing greater dimensions of the benefits of that level. Does that make sense? So you have levels and you have dimensions of every level. At every level you have dimensions. So I'm talking about mercy, but to do so I think it's important to paint a picture. You see, you can't talk about mercy without talking about love and grace. Those three are connected. It's like a triangle. The love, mercy, grace connection. Triangle. Or maybe you can say dynamic. So let me just give you a few definitions and then I'll just go ahead into what I believe God has for us this morning. Love. What is love? Love. The best definition I can think about love is the nature of God. That's all. Love is the nature. Somebody said love is an action. Not necessarily, because people can pretend. So love is a nature. It's the nature of God. Nature of what? Nature of God's goodness and kindness. Somebody say love is the nature of God's goodness and kindness. So what is mercy? Mercy is God's disposition of goodness and kindness because of his love. So God loves us so much, and then because of that, God is disposed in a certain way towards us. That's mercy. What is grace? Grace is God's action of goodness and kindness towards us as a result of his mercy. Does that make sense? So what you have, love is a nature, mercy is a disposition, and grace is what? An action. So because of how God sees us, he does something about it. That's grace. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. Praise the Lord. So mercy is like this. The best way to maybe illustrate. If someone walked up to you and frowned at you, that would be that person's disposition towards you. And that means there's something that is not favorable inside that's making that person frown at you. Does that make sense? So if someone comes to you and smiles at you, you know there's something in the heart that is favorable towards you. Am I correct? That's making a person smile at you. So that smiling is a disposition. So mercy is God smiling at you. God will smile at you this year. Amen.
Amen.
I said God will smile at you this year.
Amen.
Now because of God's smile, God now does something about it. That's called grace. Amen. So you'll see this connection in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 2 verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. You'll see this connection between love, mercy, and grace. I'm trying to lay foundation here. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Next verse. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Next verse. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. We used to be like everybody else. But God. Someone say, but God. Says, but God, who is rich in mercy, watch this, because of his great love, with which he loved us. So mercy came out of where? Love. So it was because of his love that he showed us mercy. Does that make sense? Watch the next verse. Even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So he brings love, mercy, and grace. So because of his love, he showed us mercy. And because of that mercy, he did something about it. Next verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together. This is the action. You see what I'm saying? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Next verse. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Next verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen. For we have workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Go back to verse 8. Praise the Lord. So we see there's that connection between love, mercy, and grace. Love is the nature of God's goodness and kindness. Mercy is that disposition of his goodness and kindness. And grace is the action he takes because of his goodness and his kindness. Praise the Lord. Now, so I want to just talk about mercy. When I'm talking about mercy, when I talk about mercy, grace, love, they're all so connected that sometimes I'll just interchange, okay? Praise the Lord. So the supply of mercy is one thing for something to be available. There's a difference between availability and appropriation. You can have something, you can have access to something, but it doesn't mean you are enjoying it. Does that make sense? That you have access doesn't mean you are enjoying something. So you have to find a way to enjoy what you have. Tell your neighbor, it's time for you to enjoy what you have. I'll give an example. Go to John. Give me John, John 10:10. John 10 and 10. Give me amplified version. I want to show you. Amplified. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have what? Life. But not just have it. And do what? Enjoy. So there's a difference between having life and enjoying the life that you have. Is somebody here with me? All you need to have life is be a believer. But you need more than being a believer to enjoy it. You need to find a way, the mechanism of supply, the mechanism of manifestation. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
You will enjoy life, oh.
Amen.
I said you will enjoy life. You will enjoy the life of God. It's like somebody has a car. So somebody buys you a car. Amen. Let me do something randomly, okay? Let me point to the brother with the beard. You. What's your dream car? Lexus. Okay. You have a particular kind. Okay, no problem. Lexus. Lexus is a good car. Huh? 470. Black. Makasika Lambrunda. The guy knows what he wants, so. Receive it. Hallelujah. I wanted to see how his reflexes were. Glory to God. All right, watch this. Somebody buys you a Lexus, right? And gives you the particulars, the papers, legal papers. You know, you can have a Lexus and never drive it. But it's yours. But you can have it and not drive it. Why? Because maybe you don't know how to drive. You look like somebody that knows how to drive. Praise the Lord. But let's say you didn't have to drive. That means you would have a Lexus in your house that's as your car, but you can't drive it. So it's yours, but you're not enjoying it. And then in some other cases, somebody may actually know how to drive, but not have the will or the will to drive. In other words, just park it there because if I drive Lexus, too much bad belay. So let me just leave my Lexus and let me just be using Uber. Why? Because of I don't want anybody to just jealous me, right? Right? Meanwhile, it's your car. So it's one thing to have your car. It's another thing to drive it and enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. You know, it's interesting you use the word Lexus. Brother Higgins, some years before he passed to glory, some of his spiritual sons bought him a brand new Lexus and put all the fittings, all the specs, everything, and brought it for him, all right, because he was having an old Ford Bronco. So they gave it to him, and they began to drive it. About 2 weeks after, one of the students ran up to him and says, Brother Hagen, how's the Lexus? And he smiled at the boy and said, I'm enjoying it. Do you know God gives us richly all things to enjoy? Say amen, no?
Amen.
Enjoyment is part of God's package. It is now. See, here's the problem we have. Some Christians are too serious. They are just too serious for the Holy Ghost. Even the Holy Ghost respects you and your seriousness. Hallelujah! We have to learn how to enjoy as believers. We have to learn how to enjoy the benefits of salvation. Glory to Jesus Christ. Are you with me here? So I want to show you something here. Go to Ephesians 2 verse 8. How do we get this supply? How do we get this supply? He tells us here. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Someone say faith. Faith is necessary to receive mercy. Can I say it again? Faith is necessary to receive the benefits of mercy. But not just faith. It says, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Next verse. Next verse. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. I'm going to give you two words. Write them down. If you have these two in place, you will have no problem receiving mercy. Number one is faith, and number two is humility. Number one is faith, and number two is humility. And here's the truth. Your faith is actually enhanced by your humility. Here's the truth. Sincere and sustained faith is not possible until you humble yourself. Are you still here with me? Glory to God. For you to actually trust God, you have to humble yourself. Because it takes humility to receive God's word as final authority. It takes humility. Amen? I'll give an example. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and 5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject and one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Next verse. Therefore, humble yourselves. Notice humility. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Next verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What is that? Faith. To cast your care on him, you have to believe that he's able to take care of your cares. But notice, before you could do that, you had to humble yourself. Because for you to receive God's word in your life, when you have a crisis, when you're in the midst of a crisis, to receive God's word as final authority, you have to humble yourself. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So you can't separate sincere, sustained faith from humility. Now let me say a few things about humility. I'm going to spend more time talking about faith, right? But let me say a few things about humility. Very important. Humility. You know, to understand humility, you have to understand pride. Amen. Why is it so quiet now suddenly? I went somewhere to preach. I was talking about pride. You know, this was in the U.S. and there was a guy in front of me. Everything was going well until I started talking about pride and breaking it down. And so when I said pride, everybody even shouted. But when I began to break it down, it was silent. And then the man started frowning his face. Then he started fuming. I mean, the guy was fuming. You could almost see smoke coming out of his ears. After the service, God ever walked up to me and said, I'm angry. I said, I know you're angry. I said, why are you angry? He said, when you began to talk about pride, something happened to me. I got angry. You know why? The pride that he was operating by was exposed. And his flesh did not like it. Say amen. 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 So to understand humility, we have to understand pride. Because we need humility if we're going to flow in the kind of faith necessary to receive the full supply of God's mercy, to enjoy it. Amen. Amen. Are you still with me here? So here's a definition of pride I want to give you. It's found in Romans 12:3. Pride is thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to. Thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to. That's called pride. So pride is actually a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. And it's thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to. Pride is always about attitude. Attitude towards God and towards people. And it affects the way you relate with the people. So let me say like this. We need to know who we are in Christ. But we also need to know who we are not in Christ. Did you get me now? Praise the Lord. Can I have somebody to illustrate for me? I need, with the chair, please. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. You see that Romans 12:3, put it there. It says, I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now think about that. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. That means you should think highly. Okay, let me give you a few seconds so it will land. He says, don't think more highly. Which means I should think highly, but not more highly. So the question is, how highly should I think of myself? Say amen, no? Very highly, oh. How? Because I am seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, far above. That's high. If you're looking for high, that's high. So I should think of myself highly, but not more highly. So what does it mean to think of yourself more highly? Let me use this illustration. Here you have, thank you, just come forward. Here you have the body of Christ and you have Jesus. All right? This is the whole anatomy of Christ, head and body. All right? And then when he raised up Jesus, he also raised us up as his body. Am I correct? So, and then he went and sat Jesus, and when he sat him, he also what? Sat us. Glory to God. All right. So here we are seated in a very high place. That's why we have to think of ourselves highly. Thinking of yourself lowly is not humility, oh. It's called stupidity. You know, there's false humility. You know what you call false humility? Humility. Hallelujah. You are just saying you are humble. That you said you are humble doesn't mean you are humble. There are parameters. Are you with me? So here you have us seated together with Christ in heavenly places. This is high. I mean, there's no higher place than this. Nobody else on the earth is as high as this. But here's the problem. It says, not more highly. So here we are here. Here is the head, Jesus, right? Imagine if we started thinking of ourselves higher than who? Jesus. Because even though we're seated in heavenly places, he is still what? The head. His position is still what? Higher than the body. Am I correct? Here's the problem. The minute you stop seeing God as your source, you've crossed the line. Amen. No. That's why holding on to cares is pride. Because you think you can fix it. And you cannot fix it. So you think you are more powerful than God, who said to you, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Then you still hold on to the cares. Why? I don't trust you, Lord. I'm not sure. Last time I gave you my cares, I'm not sure you did well. So I'm going to hold on to my cares. So that's called what? Pride. Say amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So let's go back to Romans 12. Romans 12. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than the other thing, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one. God is a source. God is a source. He must always be the source. Once God is no longer the source in your mind, pride has come. Say amen. Next verse, watch this. For as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. What's it saying? It says once you have pride, you will stop discerning the body of Christ. You won't have respect for other members of the body of Christ because of pride. So for instance, imagine that this hand, this is the hand, this is the forearm, this is the upper arm. Imagine that this hand says, I don't want to do anymore. I don't like you anymore, so I'm going on my own. So this hand leaves the forearm and takes off. Am I correct? What about this hand? What if this hand sees what this hand did and decides, I'm going to do likewise because I've been having problems with the forearm. Because this hand is under submission to the forearm. So he does what? He takes off. So what you have now, you have a body without hands. Am I correct? So what you have now is a problem because pride will make you disrespect other members of the body of Christ. Are you getting my point? Pride will make you feel I don't need you. Meanwhile, without you, I can't make it. Let me say it again. Without you, I cannot make it. Even here now, as I'm preaching now, do you realize that without your help, I cannot preach? So I need you. And you need me. Whatever God has in store in my heart for you, you need it, right? So we have to walk together. Glory be to Jesus. Imagine if the eye said, I don't need this hand anymore. This eye says, I don't need a hand anymore. So I'm going to ask the eye to do something. Since it is the hand that holds my phone, and he doesn't need the hand anymore, he's going to have to find a way to hold my phone. Is that okay? Shall we try him out? Eye, please hold my phone. Try. No, just try. Try. Try your best. Try. No, you have to try. 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 Okay, stand up and be walking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, this is why it says that pride, when there's pride, deception comes. Self-deception. So here you have a man who is doing somebody else's work because I can do all things. And in the process, he's blind. Because the one you're supposed to do, you can't do. Because you don't respect the other person who can do something you cannot do. So you're trying to do everybody's work together and you're ending up what? Falling down into a ditch. Because you are proud. Proud people do too much. Everything they must do. Everybody's work. When you find yourself, you can't delegate. It's called pride. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Glory to God. Are you getting this? Pride, listen to me, pride always wants to be the center of attraction. Have you met people who, if they're not the center of attraction, they will start having convulsions? They must talk. Everybody's talking or others have spoken. And you don't have to talk every time. Because you don't always have what to say. So there are times you keep quiet and listen. But there are people who must talk. They must have the last word. Why must you have the last word? Because you must be heard. Somebody must know you, that you know something. And you end up exposing your foolishness. Brother Hagin said something. He says he's learned the vocabulary of silence. Because when you are quiet, when you should be quiet, people will know how much you don't know. They won't know now. They just think you're too wise because you kept quiet. That's been nodding your head. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Just keep quiet. Say that's true, but keep quiet after. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch this. This is the area I want to emphasize. Pride is easily offended. Easily offended. Well, let me put it this way. Pride is easily insulted. If you're easily offended, easily angered, easily insulted, then there's a pride problem. And it's going to affect your faith. It's going to affect how you express your faith. Because your faith works best in the atmosphere of what? Humility. Say amen. So I'm going to give you an illustration now. Let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 verse 21. Matthew 15 verse 21. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me. Someone say mercy. So she's asking for a supply of mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Watch this. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Someone say severely. So this is not a light case. This is a serious matter. Can you imagine somebody who's severely possessed? Maybe she's even cutting herself. I mean, this is a dangerous situation. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Next verse. But he answered not a word. He just kept quiet. But this is a serious matter. And yet Jesus said nothing. Watch this. And disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Why did they say this? It was becoming an embarrassment. This is the ministry of Jesus. It's known for kindness, known for benevolence. And then here comes a woman who has a serious problem, and Jesus would not even look at her, would not even answer her. And so Peter's like, this is not good for the Jesus Christ Evangelical Association. We have to fix this. Jesus, if you want to help her, help her. If you don't want, let her go. Because people are watching. Hallelujah. Do you think Jesus cared that people were watching? No. Maybe it's even because you're watching that he's about to do something here. Amen? God, may God deliver you from the expectations of people. Amen. I said, may God deliver you from the expectations of people. So that you meet up to God's expectations. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, watch this. Go ahead. Send her away, for she cries out after us. Next verse. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is getting worse, though. I'm sure Peter is confused by now. This is not like Jesus now. What happened to him? Did he drink something? Hallelujah. Next verse. Then she came. I love this. All these obstacles in front of her, yet she's still coming forward. This is unusual. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She must have known something. She must have understood the mercy of God. Am I correct? Next verse. Watch this. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Hey! If she was a Nigerian, this is where the story ends. She would just stand up first. Eh? Eh? You know, in Nigeria, we have our own vocabulary. For instance, eh has many meanings, depending on the context. Hallelujah. She would just say, eh? Wait. That's also Nigerian language. Wait. Repeat yourself. Did I hear you right? Did you just call me a dog? Did you come in Kita just now? Hey! Insult. Because I came for healing. Oh, you men of God, useless people. Nonsense. Because I came for healing. My daughter's dying. I came here. Look at how you're behaving. No compassion. Wickedness in high places. Nonsense. Because I even came. That's where it would have ended. And she would have left that place without a miracle. Faith and humility. If you allow pride, it will jeopardize your faith. If you allow pride, your faith would not reach completion. And that's what the devil does. When the devil sees you are pressing into the place of manifestation, he will bring offense. People will just start misbehaving. Somebody will just say something that will touch you somewhere. And then if you don't manage it well, you get upset, you get insulted, you get angry. You start to express anger. It weakens your faith. And that's why some people are suffering delay. God is not a God of delay, oh. God is always on time. You have to watch the offense because it's a sign of pride. And God resists the proud. Say amen. Put a scripture. Somebody say, no more pride. Say, no more pride. Say, Lord, help me. Glory to Jesus. Now, let me say something as I'm proceeding. Pride is also easily embarrassed. Did you know that? Because what happens is, people who are easily embarrassed, you see, they're too conscious of what people are seeing and what they're saying. So, for instance, if I was to stand up here and then start speaking, right? And maybe I made some grammatical mistakes and people start laughing. I have two kinds of responses. I can respond in humility or pride. Amen? I can just get angry. I may not say it all, but because people are laughing at me, I will just continue preaching. But you see my face. It has changed. I'm trying to finish the message and go. My mind, I'm like, nonsense, look at these people, because I came here to preach to them. So that's pride. Why? Because I'm too conscious. I'm too conscious of myself. Let me show you. Give me Proverbs. I'll come back here, right? I'll come back here. Proverbs 11 verse 2. Proverbs 11 verse 2. Proverbs 11 verse 2. When pride comes, then comes what? Shame. That embarrassment, that easily, to be easily embarrassed, is pride. Amen? If people laugh at you, what should you do? Laugh. Join them. I'm serious. Just laugh and move on. Glory to God. Don't be too sensitive. It's called what? Pride. Hallelujah. Is somebody here with me? All right, let's go back and finish up that scripture. Go back to Matthew. Matthew. All right. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. All right. Notice he essentially called her a dog. All right. Like I said, if this was Nigerian, the story ends here. The Nigerian will not receive this miracle. Because at this point, this is Nigeria's threshold. Dog. Finish. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And then she said this, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In other words, yes, I'm a dog. But even dogs have rights. Even dogs have a right to what? Crumbs. Let me have my crumbs. Doesn't matter what you call me. My mind is made up. My daughter is sick. Offense will not stop my progress. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is important. Because don't forget what she's asking for. Mercy. And this is telling me that her pride could have stopped the supply of mercy. Even though it's available. But to appropriate it, you can't do so with pride. You have to humble yourself. Put a scripture. I love this. Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Next verse. I love this. Jesus answered and said, Oh woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. I believe the reason why he left her to go for so long was that he knew what was in her heart and wanted to use this as an object lesson to teach other people how to persist in faith no matter what obstacle you face. When you decide, I'm going all the way, it doesn't matter what the devil brings in front of me. My mind is made up. I will hold on to that manifestation. When you have that kind of determination and you humble yourself, nothing can stop you. Hallelujah. Are you with me here? When I was growing up, I had a dog called Skippy. I was about 6. Skippy, why? Because I don't know how many of you are old enough to know Skippy. Hey, who knows Skippy here? Skippy, Skippy, Skippy the bush kangaroo. Did you ever watch it? You watch it, right? Yeah, at least Bishop, where flowing. Now, these guys, they don't know what I'm talking about. There was a series we used to watch on TV when we were young. It's called Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. They'll show it every week, all right? And so I liked it so much, and then I named my dog after Skippy. Skippy was okay for a while. But after a while, Skippy had this problem. It began to walk about the whole neighborhood. And not just walk about. Skippy will go about impregnating other. Honestly speaking, it was bad. Skippy would just impregnate. Sometimes you see Skippy stalk to another dog many, many times. You know that kind of thing now. It was becoming a public menace. Hallelujah. So because Skippy would go out all the time, can't control Skippy anymore, Skippy would just go out. Skippy was a womanizer, let me just put it like that. So Skippy now began to get dirty. Because he'd go outside, come back late, you know, just enter all kinds of places. So we used to let Skippy stay in the house in the past. But when Skippy began to get dirty and wouldn't even let you bath it, we started telling Skippy to stay out. Now here's the problem. Whenever we're eating, when we used to eat, we'll be eating, right? Then maybe you eat chicken and then the bone and you just drop it for Skippy under the table, right? Skippy would just, whenever we're eating, Skippy would make sure it was where? Under the table. Now, because of the smell, we'll tell Skippy, when we want to eat, we'll tell Skippy, Skippy, out! But when you tell Skippy out, while you're eating, the response is different. It will do, Skippy, out! He's talking to us. You know what to say? I know my rights, I know my rights. I may be a dog, but I know my rights. And until you drop the crumbs, he's not going anywhere. Skippy knew his rights. He had a right to what? Crumbs. Now, this is important because this is going to expose the supply, levels of supply of God's mercy. You have the level of supply which is under the table. Then you have the level of supply which is where? At the table. At that table is called the master's table. Under the table is called what? Under the table. Is somebody here with me? This reveals the covenant supply of mercy. There's a supply for those at the table, which is those who are where? In Christ or in covenant with God. There's also a supply for those who are where? Under the table, which is those who are not in Christ. So what happens? Those who are not in Christ enjoy God's mercy out of the overflow of those who are where? In Christ. Are you getting my point here? It is the leftovers. Now let me shock you here a little. What is she calling crumbs? What is she calling crumbs? Deliverance from what? Severe possession. She's calling it crumbs. That's what believers think is at the master's table. That's why believers are chasing people around the whole place, looking for who will deliver me. when you're supposed to be at the master's table. Even our doctrine is now getting twisted. We're giving believers what unbelievers need. And so the believers are not any different from the unbelievers. They're just the same. Unbelievers are searching for the same things believers are searching for. Meanwhile, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. So we're not to chase the signs. The signs are to what? Follow us. Oh Lord, help me. Come on, guys. Are you getting this? So even when you're talking about mercy, be careful how you talk about mercy. Because our case is different too. Our case is different. Hallelujah. God expects us to rise up. Come and sit at the master's table. Where there's a buffet. Say amen, somebody. Are you getting this? Now, watch this, watch this. I found this very interesting. He said, healing is the children's bread. Someone say children. That's the word technon. Now, the children are the master's table. But at the master's table, it's not only children there. You also have sons. Those are the mature ones. So healing is the children's bread. Hey, healing is the children's bread. Which means at the master's table, you have what? Dimensions. You have those who are going to operate at the childhood level. Then you have those who are going to operate at what? Sonship level. Glory to God. Do you know healing is wonderful? But you know God's best for you? Divine health. Take it or leave it, is it truthful? Am I correct? There's a higher dimension than just, let me show you something. Go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Watch this. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Next verse. Watch this. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's past tense. You were once not a people, but now you are who? The people of God. Watch this. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Which means mercy is your birthright. Oh Lord, help me. Come on. Why? Because you're God's child. Now that you're God's child, the level of mercy you operate at is dependent on your maturity. You have the children and you have the sons. So, watch this. If crumbs is healing from severe demonic possession, then my question is, what do you have at the master's table? Are you ready? Can you handle this? Are you sure you can handle this? Glory to God. Because what I need is what you have at the master's table. If I have what is at the master's table, healing is already incorporated in what I have at the master's table. You see what I'm saying? So if I have what I'm supposed to eat at the master's table, healing will never be a problem. Amen? Because I have something which is greater. All right? So let's go back to Ephesians quickly. Let me try and wrap this up quickly. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. What do you have at the master's table? What do we have at the master's table? To know what we have at the master's table, the supply of mercy, to know the supply of mercy that is found at the master's table, we have to understand where the master's table is located. So when it says master's table, what does he mean? I'll show you. Ephesians 2 verse 4. Watch this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Next verse. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where the master's table is at. Where? At the throne. Someone say the throne. What do you have at the throne? What does the throne symbolize? Dominion. Somebody say dominion. What is the food that you find at the master's table? dominion. Dominion. When you operate in dominion, you won't run around the whole place looking for who will deliver you. Oh Lord, help me. Oh. You won't look for somebody that will give you prescription. Your case is very serious. Go and fast for 3 weeks. No, because I operate how? In what? Dominion. What is dominion? The original mandate before the fall of man. A lot of our doctrine is restorative. There are things we wouldn't have to teach if man did not fall. Oh Lord, help me. Come on. Are you guys with me here? So Jesus came out of the mercy of God. This was a supply of mercy. Not just to redeem us, but to bring us back to a place of what? Dominion. That was mercy. Because we didn't deserve it. So he brought us back to a place of dominion. Now we have to operate at that place, which is where? At the master's table. Go with me to Mark's gospel. The gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14. Mark 1, 14. Is this making any sense? Alright, Mark 1, 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom of God. That's what he preached. Why? He was bringing that supply of mercy. What is kingdom? The king's dominion. What did he preach? He preached about the king's dominion. Alright? Go back on scripture, please. He says, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is where? At hand. Actually, what he said in the original was, the kingdom of God, or the government of God, has come. Next verse. Go ahead. No, put it. Put back. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and what? Believe in the gospel. The word repent is not focused on morality. The word repent literally means change the way you think. Because as long as you're thinking at this low level, you can't operate at the master's table. Does that make sense? Glory to God. So let me give you an example. Give me Message translation. Message translation. That same verse. Message translation. Time's up! God's kingdom is here. Who's he talking to? All the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, who were what? Religious leaders and teachers. They are teaching something, but it's not the kingdom. Amen? Time's up! Because the only way to fix religion is to introduce the kingdom. Time's up! The kingdom, God's kingdom is here. Change your life. Believe the message. Time's up. Time's up to who? To the previous occupant. Amen. He was announcing to Satan, your time is up. Because I'm bringing a greater government. So you have to what? Quit now. One day I was having pain in my leg. And it was really becoming a problem. And I just got a revelation concerning this. And I pointed my finger at it and said, time's up! The kingdom of God is here! Go! And it left. Time's up! Tell sickness, time's up! The kingdom is here. Tell poverty, time's up! The kingdom is here. Stop going through rituals. Moving to the master's table. Hallelujah! Glory to Jesus. One time, when my son was much younger, he began to have, chickenpox lesions. We're living in the U.S. at that time, so he began to have chickenpox lesions. There was a chickenpox outbreak. Now, chickenpox is not such a bad deal, right? But you still have to go to hospital, and going to hospital in the U.S. is expensive, especially when you're believing God for everything. I was in Bible school believing God for all kinds of things, you know, everything. Amen. So I didn't want to go to the hospital because once you enter the hospital, oh my God, those guys know how to charge people. I didn't have insurance, right? So I just noticed, I saw three lesions on his hand. My wife showed me. I said, hey, I got so upset. I went into the room. I was just thinking. I said, you know, I wasn't just thinking about the lesions. I was thinking about the money we're going to spend. So while I was there, anger rose up from inside. Righteous indignation. I ran out of the bedroom. My wife was there carrying him and then my wife's sister. When they saw me coming out, they were afraid. Because I came out and said, I said, let me tell you something, you chickenpox. Leave his body now, go away. Then I stepped back and ran back inside the room. I went inside the room and just lay down. 3 hours after, every lesion disappeared. I exercised what? Dominion. Someone say, time's up. Poverty. Go. Somebody say, time's up. COVID-19. Omicron. Go. Somebody said, time's up. Every addiction. Out. The kingdom is here. Let's rise up. Let's stop playing at the base. That's for unbelievers. That's their supply. Your own supply is different. Dominion is the mercy supply for believers. Are you still here with me? I got saved. And before I got saved, for many years I used to have migraines, serious migraines and asthma. I nearly died so many times because of the migraines and the asthma. They seemed to come around the same time. I was around 15. Well, the asthma came earlier, actually, but at 15, the migraine came and joined. Yes. So what would happen is if I had a migraine attack, sometimes for 8 hours, I'd be paralyzed. That's how bad it was. Blind and paralyzed. I wouldn't see anything. I'd just be blind. I would have to lie down for 8 hours on the floor, screaming. Then if it wasn't asthma, then it wasn't migraine, it was asthma. And the asthma several times, I almost died. So I went into school, university, and while there I had medication everywhere, in my pocket, in the car, in the fridge, everywhere, medication. So that wherever it would start, I would move quickly. So the migraine had three phases. The first phase, I'll just see flashes of light. The next phase, I'll just see one light, just like this, and zap across. The third phase, I'll see colors, then I'll become blind. So as long as I took that medication before the second phase, I was okay. So here I am sitting down studying, right? I'm trying to study, and then this thing started. And every time I'm about to have exams, it will start. So I got up in my room, and I was walking towards the fridge to get the medicine, right? And I just got halfway. And I just got saved not long ago. And I heard the voice of God. It was so clear. He said to me, now that you are a son, behave like one. Because I was bound. So I stopped. Just dawned on me that God just spoke to me. So I did like this. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. It got worse. It went to the next phase. I did again. Name of Jesus, I am healed. It went to phase 3. And phase 3 means no return. So I was almost going to give up. Then I had this righteous indignation from within me. Then I shouted, in the name of Jesus, bow! I'm healed. I slapped myself. I don't recommend you slap yourself. It was my personal revelation. I just slapped myself. And I felt something physical leave my head. It was like something was giving me an arm lock like this. And when I did it, it released me. It was like a helmet on my head, physical. I felt it physically leave my head. I didn't realize all these years there was a demon sitting on my head. It just snapped out. I was shocked. I was too shocked. So I just walked back and I went and sat down. And I began to study frantically because I didn't want to think about what just happened. After 3 hours, no problem. No blindness. I went to bed. slept well, woke up in the morning, fresh. You have to understand, after so many years of oppression, it's almost hard to believe. Now, let me tell you the best news. That was the last time the asthma showed up. So when I dealt with the guy that caused the migraine, on his way out, he told the asthma, They are coming. The guy's eyes have opened though. Just leave and go. That was the end. I didn't have to go through all kinds of rituals. I didn't. I experienced dominion. Did I tell you about the guy who Satan used to use for consolation? Okay, I didn't tell you. Or maybe I did, but I'll tell you again. I'll close with this. There was a guy who Satan used to use for consolation. If he goes to certain places and they kick him out based on dominion, he will go and find somebody to make him feel not too bad. A believer who doesn't understand dominion. So this thing happened and Satan went somewhere and he got kicked out. So he asked the demons, where is that brother? I said, my brother is somewhere on this road, Ikorodu Road, that's where he is. And so Satan flew and jumped inside the taxi where this brother was. And Satan did not know this brother had gone to a conference just like this. Something happens when you go to this kind of conference. There's a spark in your eyes based on revelation. Say amen. Amen. So he just jumped at the back seat with confidence because he knows this guy. I can always bully this guy. And so this guy now looks at him. And when Satan saw his eyes, Satan himself shouted, "Blood of Jesus!" Somebody on the way home today, Satan will shout, "Holy Ghost fire!" Rise on your feet. Come on, rise on your feet. Open your mouth. Tell that situation, time's up. The kingdom is here. Let me hear you. Come on. Whatever you're dealing with right now, open your mouth. Open your mouth and say it. Say, let me hear you say it. If it's sickness, speak to that sickness. If it's confusion, speak to it. Let me hear you. Speak to it. Time's up. The kingdom is here. Time's up. The kingdom is here.